So if you've got a bulletin, you would have found that there's a little blue insert, and that's going to have the passage as a whole, the whole chapter of Timothy chapter 3, and that's what we're going to be looking at today. So let's get going. Well, do you believe we're living in the last days? You ever ask yourself that? I believe that. Now, why do I believe we're living in the last days? Well, there's a few verses from scriptures. Now, this happened at the day of Pentecost. This passage I'm going to quote is in Acts 2, 16 and 17. And Pentecost, as you remember, is when Holy Spirit came down upon God's people and empowered them to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. But beginning in Jerusalem, people began speaking different languages. And when the citizens of Jerusalem heard these, they said, "Hey, these guys are drunk." And Peter stands up and says, "No, it's only 9 in the morning. They're not drunk. But what? This is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days," starting now, "the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." So the last days, beginning at Pentecost. And then in Hebrews 1, we're reminded, "Long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But when? In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world." And then we come to today's passage. "But understand this, Timothy, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty." I hope this turned out okay. Yeah, did all right. Okay. So creation, if you have questions about an early earth creationism, go to answersingenesis.org. Answersingenesis.org, particularly with the news this week in South Africa, the new find of those little guys, you know. If you have a question about Earth and its aging and all that kind of stuff, scientific stuff, answersingenesis.org. It's a great, great deal. It's very in-depth analysis of early date creation. And if there's ever a flood, if there was really a flood, what would be its impact on the geology of the world, the world's topography? Answersingenesis.org. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. But there was a creation. Okay? The Bible account is pretty clear. There's a creation, and then the biggest thing that ever happened in our creation was this what? The incarnation, when God became flesh and dwelt among us. And then we had this giving of the Holy Spirit. And this is pretty close to this. And from that time on, until Christ returns, the very last day, that is called the last days. Jesus in his gospel warns us about being preoccupied about when the exact timing. No one knows it. But he's given us a task to do, and that is to make his gospel known throughout the world. And once that has been proclaimed fully on this globe, then the last day will occur. But between the giving of Holy Spirit until he returns, these are the last days. So you and I definitely live in the last days. So that's a biblical timeline I like to keep in mind. Now, there's a lot of speculation when it gets closer to this, what happens, you know, the rapture and the tribulation and all that. How does it work out? And there's different viewpoints when you look at scripture evidence, equally valid. I have my own. If you've ever studied eschatology, that's a study of last times, you can look at that. But right now, we're living in the last days. Okay, this is it. This is the time to proclaim the gospel of Christ. And once it's proclaimed, the last day will happen. But Timothy, last days, chapter 3, they're described in the first 5 verses. And if you have the blue sheet, you can follow along. But this is what it says. "The last days are difficult. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty." What does that mean, difficult? Well, if you take apart this Greek word, kalepos, you come up with dangerous, fierce times. The Old King James Version called it perilous times. The New International Version likes the word terrible. And these are times of difficulty. Very, very difficult times. Dangerous times. Fierce times. Now, why will there be times of difficulty? I'm missing a C there. Difficulty. Okay. Difficulty. Why will there be times of difficulty? Because people become love perverts. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let's let the scripture answer us. For people, there'll be times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self. Lovers of money. Proud. Arrogant. Abusive. Disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful. Unholy. Heartless. Unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. We flip on the TV, we look at the internet news, and what do we see? We see crazy murders in families. We see hundreds upon thousands of people in a refugee status. Why are our water tables polluted, our rivers and lakes and seashores? Why is there financial corruption? The list goes on and on. Why all these addictions and money being wasted on gambling and on addiction to substance abuse? Why is there a sex industry, sex trafficking? Right there. These are the difficult times you and I live in. These are the last days, and they're difficult. Well, what's the solution? Well, I'm not quite sure it's a solution, but this is a good response. It says avoid such people if you can, okay? Don't go out and kill them, but avoid them. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. These people who are lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, sneak into the religious community. And then they lead others astray. Now please, this isn't saying women are weak, but this is a particular group of women there in Ephesus were. And open to spiritual deception. Oops. Avoid such people. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding their faith, but they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. Now these two men, Paul's using an example of Jannes and Jambres. Now if you do a concordance search, you won't find them. Their names aren't listed in the Bible. But they were well known among Jewish people as being in Pharaoh's court and being two of the magicians who opposed Moses and Aaron. Now, this is extra biblical material, but you can find it in the historical records of the Jewish historians. This is who he's referring to, these two guys. Now, what happened when they snuck in, they remember Moses, this is Moses here, but it's Aaron's rod. Aaron threw his rod down, and it became a snake. And then the magicians, I think these guys must be Jannes and Jambres, these guys. Okay, so these guys are throw down their rods, and they become snakes. But remember, Aaron's rod ate them up. The next two plagues that came on Israel, they changed the Nile, became blood. Remember that one? Well, these guys could do that trick too. Then the next trick was frogs. They did that too. They're pretty good magicians. They did these tricks. When it came to the third and subsequent plagues upon Pharaoh, they could not repeat them. And even it's recorded that the magicians in Pharaoh's courts were saying, hey, look, this is the finger of God on these two guys. You better watch out. So what are we dealing with here in the New Testament? Evidently, there's people like these guys in Ephesus, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. And their folly will be made plain to all, as was that of these two men. That's why I use those examples, that eventually these two people are going to be exposed as not having any power at all. No gospel power. So avoid such people who are lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, not lovers of God and good. Instead, follow good examples. And I was just overtaken when I read these verses. The personal pronoun in the first person. Look at that. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, and my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. You can read all about that in Acts and Macedonia and Paul's missionary journeys, all the suffering. But remember what happened at Lystra? He was stoned and everybody thought he was dead. He's laying there, but he just gets up, dusts himself off, goes about his gospel business. Well, Nero's going to get his head, but Paul is going into the arms of Jesus. And he said, Look at my life. Look at my doctrine. It's one. I'm a man of integrity. I'm not like these guys who deceive. No. You followed me and you've known me. You know that I'm the real deal. And I've suffered for the gospel's sake and so extreme. But I've been delivered. It's not a religious game I'm playing. No. This is the truth of following Christ. So follow good examples. Avoid those who are deceiving, but follow good examples. Again, continuing in verse 12 and 13, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Paul experienced that, and he's reminding Timothy, this is what's going to happen. And for all of us, in one way or another, we will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Remember, Christ said a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted the master, they'll also persecute you. Let's just try and go share the gospel in the Muslim world today. There have been believers who had their heads cut off. The voice of the martyrs say that more people have been martyred in this century than ever in all of other history combined. So you and I have got it kind of easy. The people in Nigeria who meet up with a Boko Haram don't. Any Christian believer that is on the border of Syria doesn't. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Well, so summarizing where we've been so far, avoid love perverts. I don't know if you like that. You know what I mean. Lovers of self, money, and pleasure. And who do not love good or God? Follow good examples. Lovers of God is seen in both their lifestyle and doctrine. And prepare to suffer. So, Timothy, look. If you want to know how to live in these last days, and DBICC, James, and my brothers and sisters in Christ, if you want to know how to live, do what? Avoid the love perverts. Follow good examples, and be prepared to suffer. Okay? That's how you get on by these last days, you know. That's how we get by. But it continues. It says, continue in Scripture. But as far as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I don't know how many of you know Andrew Gardner. He's the pastor of the Vine. And you ask him who was his Sunday school teacher. Roberto Gianetti. Can you think of any of your Sunday school teachers? I can. I can't remember his first name. I grew up in the southern United States. We just called people Mr. and Mrs., right? But I remember Mr. Stevenson. I remember Mrs. Juanita Kamler. She was my neighbor, so I knew her first name. Yeah. I can remember these people, but I also remember my mother. My grandmother? No. But Timothy could. Was his grandmother Lois and his mom was Eunice. He remembers these guys. They're the ones. Remember who you've learned about the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So continue in the scripture and remember from whom you've learned it. And how many of those guys are going to say, yeah, I remember I used to go to DBICC and there was the Giannettas. Yeah, who was that family from Australia? The Bramleys. Yeah. And, you know, they're going to remember. Remember knowing from whom you have learned it. Why continue? Well, again, we look at verse 14 and 15, the same. Make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So as Galatians teaches us, that all of Scripture is just kind of like a tutor, if you will. I don't like to use the word guru, but the Scriptures are kind of showing us, here is Christ. Not kind of, they are. They all point us to Jesus. So whether you're dealing with Genesis or Revelation, and all that's in between, it's all saying this is about Jesus. That's why Christ criticized the Pharisees. He says, you come to the Scriptures thinking that in them alone you find salvation. No, they all bear testimony of me. Make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I begin to learn as I look at Scripture and the whole of it, that what? That in me there is no good thing. Yeah, I was made in God's image, but I don't have the power to live a self-controlled and upright life in this age. I cannot be friends with God because I've done too much stuff. I've thought too many bad thoughts, not to mention my behavior. I'm not holy and pure like God, but who makes me able to be a friend with God is Jesus. Jesus himself. And so this is the gospel. The gospel doesn't say, make yourself good and then God will love you. No, the gospel says Jesus became a man so he could take on your sin, my sin, and we could become good. We receive his goodness, his righteousness through faith alone, not of works. There's not enough going to church. There's not enough reading the Bible and praying enough that'll make me good. But I do those things. Why? Because I'm continuing the Scriptures, and Scripture tells me to. But I love Jesus now, because he first loved me, and now my life is no longer my own. The life I live now in my flesh is his. And so when I bring my desires before him, whether they're pleasure desires, possession desires, or reputation desires, whatever those desires might be, I bring them before him and ask him. He's the King. He's the Lord. That's what it means to be repent and believe. If there is a living God and he is the Almighty, he's worthy to be heard and obeyed and listened and followed. And so my desires can be simple ones. You know, how much food I want to eat today? How much alcoholic beverage do I want to drink today? How much I like football? How much football I want to do today? You know, I've got to bring all these pleasure desires at his feet and ask him, you know, what works for you, Jesus? What do you want me to do in my life today? And then you get to the big things. Where am I going to move and live and work? Where am I going to go to school? This is where Jesus becomes Lord. Yeah, Lord and Savior. How many kids are we going to have? Who cares? Just go for it. Whatever happens. No, you ask God. You talk about it with him. And, of course, with your mate. And you pray together. make you wise for the salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So life in Jesus, that's why I continue. I want to be wise for salvation through faith in Christ. Another reason is given in verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Man, woman, this human being, that the person of God, if you will, may be complete, equipped for every good work. By the way, as you go out, if you know, Salt Ministries is one that we support here at our church. Steve Torgerson and Merrill Lee, little group, and they got a new fall update, and it's all about doing good works among Salt and the countries they're involved in. And in this particular issue, there's an update on how the Lord is blessing them as they train others in Vietnam and Nepal. You know, it's not just China anymore. These new doors have opened up for Salt, and what a blessing. And of course, they are Scripture-based. They are Word-based ministry. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. If you want to be a good father, I hear that some people pray this, some of my brothers here in the church, you know, make us be better. I think what they're saying is make us to be like Christ. Husbands, fathers, an employee or business owner, make us to be more like you, to do our work in a way that brings you glory, oh God. Our marriage will bring you more glory, and the way I do parenting will bring you more glory. Equip for good works. So, summary, the last days are difficult, okay? Dangerous times. Avoid the lovers of money and pleasure. Follow lovers of good and God, and continue in the Scripture. I got to say a thing about all here, okay? Can you help me read those first two words?
All Scripture.
How much?
All.
All, okay. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All Scripture. I doubt if anybody knows who this guy is. This is Reverend William Evans. He died in 1950. Some of us were born in 1950. Many of us were not around yet. But Reverend William Evans was a journalist in New York City, and he went to attend Dwight L. Moody, a famous evangelist, was preaching. And Dwight said, I want you to give your life to Christ and follow him completely. And like, I surrender all, you know, that little song we did. And he comes over and he says, I'm talking about you. It was Evans' character, right? William Evans. He pointed at William Evans. So Evans packed his bag up and went to Chicago, and he became the first graduate of the newly opened Moody Bible Institute. He became to be a very well-known author. He wrote over 40 books on the Scriptures. He was said to have memorized the whole Bible in the King James Version. Well, anyway, his son was Lewis, and also became a minister. And Dr. Lewis Evans was asked to be the pastor of Hollywood, First Presbyterian Church in Hollywood. When it first started, the First Presbyterian Church in Hollywood only had 700 people. So we're talking around 1930s now, I think, about up there. But to make a long story short, Dr. Lewis, when he would take Dr. Lewis Evans, when he'd take a holiday, he'd ask his dad to step in and preach. And one day, Dr. Evans is preaching. This is father stepping in for his son on holiday, and he's preaching on the virgin birth. And he said, Now, some of you understand that the virgin birth couldn't happen because it's medically and scientifically impossible. So we'll throw that away. And creation, my goodness, he kept tearing up his Bible and throwing it all out. He said the only thing we're going to be left with, if we don't include the miraculous, is what? The Sermon on the Mount, maybe. Be good. Do good. Well, the people started crying out and said, no, no, no. We want to hear more. And then he went into this, all Scripture is God-breathed. Now today, we know that the Scriptures speak a lot about our sexual behavior and what pleases God. But some of us want to rip that out and throw that away. I don't believe that. And this whole thing about creation, I don't believe that. But what do you pick? How do you know what is good and what is bad? How do you make a decision? We don't trust our feelings. If God is a good God, which He is, and He's a God who wants to communicate with His people, and He is a great communicator, so great that He became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as a Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. All Scripture is God-breathed. Now, there are bits that I don't like. There's bits that are hard to take, but that doesn't mean it's not from God. There's things I am asked and questioned about, and it makes me think, and I want to respond in an intelligent way, in a loving way. I had a young man not too long ago after church. He said, Pastor James, can I ask you a question? I'm doing it for a sociology project. I said, yes. He said, what do you think about same-sex marriage? Okay. That gave me a great opportunity, and I wanted to tell him, first of all, I want you to know that it's not about... the Scriptures are not about sexual orientation. The Scriptures are about what? God orientation. How do you become friends with God through faith in Christ? And then I went on to say, but the Scriptures do speak a lot about our sexual identity. And beginning with creation, we were made male and female in His image. And then I began to say, well, you know, what does His image look like? Well, there's God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a oneness, which is expressed in the oneness of male and female in marriage, and where life can come about. I said, there are prohibitions against homosexual behavior, but there's prohibitions against heterosexual behavior outside this covenant of marriage. And sometimes we as a Christian community have shouted, boo, homosexuals. Oh, heterosexual activity, that's not good either. But we should be saying, boo, heterosexual behavior outside of marriage. So we got to watch out, you know. There's a lot of Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, that shows us that sexual fidelity within marriage is what brings God glory. Why? Because it's reflecting His oneness, His created order. So all of Scripture, Dr. Reverend William Evans, I'm sorry if I threw this paper away, but that's the way it goes. All right, let's see. Application. Ministry to a depraved world will be difficult, accepted, all right? It's hard times, these last times. It's difficult and dangerous times. Thankfully, the young person who interviewed me, we could have a civil discussion. But some times when you just try to have a civil discussion, other people just start shouting at you. They don't want to hear. So accept it if that happens. Present the truth in love. Always speak the truth in love. And let the truth keep shining. False teachers are toxic to the body of Christ. Reject them. I heard the story of a man. He was preaching that even though they said the Apostles' Creed every week in his church, he said that these miraculous things were just metaphorical expressions in the Bible. And some of the members at that church said, no, these are true. This really happened, the virgin birth and the resurrection. These are really historical facts. And the guy said, no, they're not. It's just to point us, you know, how we should live and act and love each other. And so they took the pastor to the leaders of the church and said, we can't honor this. And the elder said, you know what? This is divisive. This is not loving. We got to accept one another, and don't you guys worry about this. Well, later on, this pastor found out that he was a pedophile and had been abusing kids. And the group came back, and they said, look, what are you going to do? You know, look, he's one thing he didn't believe, but look at his life and all this. And they said, no, we can't do that. We've got to be forgiving and loving. We all have sin. Well, that group left that church because it was toxic. It had false teachers who did not hold up the truth of God, who were lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So false teachers are toxic to the body of Christ and reject them. What are you going to do with the Bible? Okay, it's great to talk about all scriptures God breathed, you know. What are you going to do with it? Let's sit on the shelf. I used to go to church as a kid and a teenager. I was a pretty good little Christian from 8 to 12. It is all downhill from 12. But I would just put the Bible in the back seat of the car, you know. So it'd be there next Sunday. I wouldn't have to worry about where I put my Bible. And just go jump in the car. There's the Bible, you know. Maybe if I went on a date on Saturday night, I'd hide it. But generally, the Bible's always there, you know. Carry it to church. That's all I did with it. Life's a little different now. But Taking God at His Word by Kevin DeYoung. You can purchase this as an e-book or if you want to order the hard copy. It's a great little book that helps you understand that you can really why the Bible is knowable, necessary, and enough, and what that means for you and me. It's a very thin volume, but very good. But he begins his book by looking at Psalm 119. And if any of you are familiar with the Psalms, you know 119 is the longest one. It uses the Hebrew alphabet, but it's all about the Word of God. It's a great, big, long song about the Word of God. I'm not giving you the verse references, but all of this is in Psalm 119. We're to sing the Word. Thank you, worship team. These are the last days, right? Speak the Word. We study the Word. We store up the Word, we obey the Word, we praise God for the Word, and we pray that God would act according to His Word. Well, not only does Psalm 119 tell us what we're to do with the Word of God, but also what we're to feel about it. And we get into feels, okay? That's it. You feel what you believe, kind of, you know? Delight in it. I'm certainly not delighting in football these days. My team keeps losing and losing and losing. The creation cannot give me the delight which God gives me in His Word. And to be able to spend time with some of you guys on Tuesdays and Fridays and Saturday mornings in the Word of God, it's a delight. It's a delight. It's a delight for me to open up the Bible every morning by myself. It's a delight to open up the Bible with my wife and we look at it and see what's going on in the Word of God. What do you delight in? What do you really get? I like to do all kinds of sports. I like to, you know, go shopping, that kind of thing. Do you delight in the Word? Psalm 119 says delight in it. Desire it. I got to have it. I got to have my Word of God. You know, I like coffee in the morning. I also like to have the Word of God right there in one hand and coffee in the other. You know, desire it. Depend on it. Oh, man. If God says it, you can trust it. how solid to build your life upon it. Well, as I said earlier, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And what was his name? Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is the one who gave it all, who laid down his life, who I look in his eyes and I see his love, all that. Yeah, he's up on the cross. He's dying for you and me. He's going to really die. He's going to be really resurrected, ascend on high, give us Holy Spirit. And he says, remember, you don't live by, you fill in the blank alone. You live by what? Every word that comes from God. Elsewhere, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you live in the word of God is all this desiring, you're delighting in it, you're depending on it, you really have it saturating in your life, you're what? You're a real disciple of Christ. And this church is about making disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus. And we have to be in the Word. And if we're in the Word, what happens? Woo! We live. And woo! We got what? Freedom. And the world's going to shout, no. What you need is creation. You need more money. You need more sex. You need more education. You get those little things and then you'll be satisfied. And the truth is, you will not. Because they are not God. They're not the living Word. They're not the one who is eternal. The one who says, I give you life forever and ever. And you believe in me? Yeah, you're going to have hard times. You're going to have trials on this earth. I don't promise you a trial-free life. But what I do promise you is afterwards, it's paradise. And you'll reign with me. Life and freedom is found by continuing God's word. Let's pray. Father, we've covered a lot of ground in Timothy 3 today, and I know the Holy Spirit is working in different ways, speaking to my friends and to me. And sometimes, Lord, when I look at that list of the last days, I say, man, does that describe me? I'm going to be so self-centered, proud and arrogant, ungrateful. Lord, you know the solution for us as a church is to look for you, to you alone, and to keep our eyes on you. We need the Word of God. And so I pray for my friends and I pray for me that as Paul exhorted Timothy, we would exhort ourselves as to continue in the Word of God. Remember how we heard about you. But why do we want to continue in the Word of God? Well, so we can do good works. So we can make disciples of others. Not disciples who follow us, but other people who will follow Christ and experience true life and freedom. And so, Lord, I pray mercy upon us as a church that we can really present the gospel in truth and in clarity as we go through the difficult times of these last days. Now, thank you. I thank you for forgiving us where we have desired and delighted in all kinds of stuff that creation throws out there. And not coming to you, our Creator God, in your lovely words. So thank you for forgiving us our sins. And I pray, make this a great week for us in the Word of God. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.